ברוכים הבאים רבותיי, ברוכים הבאים, welcome. As you know already, we started a new project to expand our understanding of Sefer Tehillim, of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. These classes are being studied as a series in memory of the Meruhemet Leah Lili Bat Virginie Ruach Adonai Tenihena Began Eden Amen Utinish Matat Zerura Besor HaHayim. Today's Shi'ur specifically is being studied Le'ilun Nishmat Moshe Ben Victoria Alav HaShalom, Mr. Mo Gindi Alav HaShalom. That was a very, very, very special man, member of our congregation here at Lawrence Avenue in Deal, served as its president for many years, served on the board, was Hazan as well, was a man of Torah, Avodan, Gemilut, Hasadim. Baruch Hashem, his children and grandchildren are following in his wonderful footsteps. He was a man with a great disposition, a happy man, and a man that has a lot of zechuyot. So today we'll study the Tehillim in his memory. Rabotai, last week we gave a hakdama. We gave an introduction to the book of Tehillim. And if you remember then, I threatened our members that we might have more hakdamot. After contemplating it this week, I am rescinding that threat. And I would like to start Perek Aleph. I'm concerned that if we involve ourselves in many, many hakdamot, the Yetzer Hara will not allow us to break ground and start the book. So let's just make an initial attempt to start the Sefer, and then God willing, if I feel that other hakdamot are necessary, we'll go back and we'll just, we'll continue from where we left off. All right, so we start the first chapter of Tehillim B'Simanat Tava. Rabotai, this is not a class in reading, so we're not going to pay too much attention of how to read the words, because the first word of Tehillim is already subject to different minhagim, how to read it. Some read it Ashre, some read it Ashare, but again, we're going to leave that for the other shiurim that are giving classes in grammar and kiri'ah. This is a class in comprehension. I want to tell you something else about this class, Rabotai. If you join this class thinking that, wow, how lucky we are, the rabbi is going to explain to us the words of the Tehillim, well, then you're in the wrong place for two reasons. First of all, you don't need me for that. Today, Baruch Hashem, there's many English art scroll books that will explain to you literally what the words mean. Here we have one in front of you over here. Art Scroll makes a beautiful Tehillim book. And therefore, you could take the, open up the book, and you could read the first Psalm, as they call it, Psalm number 1. And you read, Ashrei Ha'ish, the praises of the man. Asher lo halach, who walked not in the counsel. You don't need me for that. That's a literal translation. You could do that on your own. Furthermore, I think that it's very, very counterproductive just to explain words. It becomes a very monotonous shi'ur, very, very boring. If anybody attended our shi'ur in the Amidah, so they expected us to come and say, Hashem sifatai, my lips tiftah, open, like you did in first grade. But we actually didn't teach it like that. We taught the Amidah as a story, as a theme. And when you create a theme to the Amidah, then it becomes very interesting. And then you can open up the English Siddur and the Pirush HaMilim, see what the words mean. So when it comes to Tehillim as well, we need to study it thematically in order to understand the theme of each Perek, so we know exactly what the focus is. I think if we study it in that sense, so then we'll know how to use the book. If you know the theme of every chapter, then when you're going through that crisis in your personal life, you'll be able to say, oh, the theme of that chapter is this, therefore let me pray this chapter in order to effectuate the result that I'm looking for. So that's That's the way we're going to look at the book, Rabotai. Each chapter will be studied thematically. First of all, the first chapter, if we had to summarize what David HaMelech is trying to do, he's trying to accomplish for us two pieces of very, very strong advice. The first advice is going to be the importance of influence, of who we associate with, that we should shun bad influences. And number two, we have to learn Torah. That's it. So that's, again, let's summarize the whole chapter right there. Two points: shun bad influences and study Torah. Now let's see how he develops it and opens it up. So the beginning of the chapter says, Ashra Ish, the man is fortunate. I don't know which man he's talking about. I mean, I think he's talking about a specific man, because he doesn't say Ashra Anashim, he doesn't say it in the plurality. This man is fortunate, the man. Which man is he talking about? I don't know yet. But I know he's a man. He doesn't go with the wicked people. He doesn't stay with the sinners. He doesn't stand next to sinners. He doesn't sit with the scoffers. All right, so now we have a scavenger hunt. We have to go through Jewish history and find a man who did not go with the Rishaim, who did not stand with the Hatta'im, and did not sit with the scoffers. And we can find who that man is, so then we know who David HaMelech was talking about. So Rabotai, as you know, I worked very hard in order to deliver these shiurim. I stayed up last night, the whole night, going through Tanakh to try to find the man that satisfies all these qualifications. I'm proud to announce to our members that I have found him. I have found him, and I'm going to let you know who he is. Actually, it is revealed in a Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutet. You see, that's how you learn Tehillim. You got to open up a Gemara to learn Tehillim. You can't just learn Tehillim like Amaris and translate words. The Tehillim has to be developed from the Hazal, from the Hachamim. So Gemara, Avodah Zarah, first source, Daf Yutet. Actually, Yutet on the bottom, Amud Bet Yutet on top. I'm quoting. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar Rav Yonatan, Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo Halak Ba'asat Resha'im Ze Avraham Avinu. Ah, Ishtabach Shemo. Avraham Avinu. Look at that. So David HaMelech starts his Tehillim off with the first Jew. Ashrei Ha'ish. Avraham is the Ish. Where do you see that he had all these qualifications? Number one, Shelo alach ba'asat resha'im. He didn't follow the ways of the resha'im. And shedor panaga. He did not go with the generation of the panaga. Those were the guys that wanted to build a skyscraper to the heavens in order to fight God. Avraham Avinu definitely lived in dor panaga, and he did not participate in their initiative. Ubderech hataim lo amad, he didn't stand with sinners. Shelo amad ba'amidat Sedom, he did not stay and live by Sedom. Shehataim ayu, they were sinners, like it says, v'anche Sedom ra'im v'hataim. So he had nothing to do with the people of Sedom. He didn't live in Sedom. He didn't make residence in Sedom. Umoshav netzim lo yashav. He didn't stay with the scoffers. Shelo yashav b'moshav anshe Pilishtim. He didn't take residence with the people of Pilishtim. The Gemara calls those guys Letzim. Okay, so that's Avraham Avinu. Very nice. The question that I had over here is, so you're saying, wow, Avraham Avinu deserves the credit. In English, we would say kudos. Kudos to Avraham Avinu. He deserves our Hazak Baruch. Ashrei Ha'ish. He's a fortunate man. He's a lucky man. We're praising Avraham. My question was, you're praising Avraham that he didn't live in Sedom? Ubderech Hataim lo amad. He didn't move to Sedom. Well, I would expect Avraham Avinu, the great Sadiq, I would expect them to live in Bnei Berak or Me'ah She'arim. Even Brooklyn is okay, is acceptable to me. But for Avraham Avinu to come along and you say, Rabotai, we have to give Avraham a Chazak Baruch. You know, it's like telling one of the Gedolei Ador today, I came to get a special Berakat from the rabbi. I said, why did you come to me for? Because you don't live in Las Vegas. That's why you're coming to me, because I don't live in Las Vegas. That deserves a Sheva, that deserves an Ashre. Rabotai, I heard an unbelievable explanation from the Satmar Rebbe. Avraham Avinu was the man of Chesed. As we know, Avraham Avinu not only was a man of Chesed, but his Chesed manifested itself in that he went out to teach monotheism to the rest of the world. His Chesed was a Chesed combined in a spiritual Chesed. Of course, he roped them in with the food, Esher. They gave him some food, some drinks, and then after he fed them and took care of their physical needs, then already he moved on to the real Chesed, the Chesed of the oneness of God. And it says, "Ita nefesh asher asu b'hadan." Avraham converted thousands of people to the belief in one Hashem. That was Avraham's greatness. Now, there is no better place for Avraham to work in a place where they don't believe in God and they don't believe in Chesed. That's a best customer for Avraham Avinu. So you'd expect Avraham, the man of Chesed, to actually move to Sedom. He should move to Sedom, put residence over there full time, and over there he'll be able to influence the people. So why didn't he move to Sedom? I mean, could you imagine how many people, instead of praying long distance for the people of Sedom, which he prayed long distance, he prayed for them. He was worried about them. I have a better idea, Avraham. Move there. Open up a yeshiva there. Nobody's going to bother you. You're not worried about your life. Nobody can touch Avraham. Avraham's protected. And let him go. All of a sudden, Sedom will turn into a city of Torah. Why didn't he go there? Says the Satmar Rebbe. Because Chesed begins at home. And there was somebody that was living in Avraham Avinu's house that would not let him go to Sedom. And that's his son Yitzhak, which means he could not move over there because of Chinuch Yeladim. And Avraham Avinu might be able to withstand the negative influences, but how can you raise a child in the way of Torah Mitzvot in Sedom? So Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom is called Ashre that Avraham Avinu knew how to prioritize his Chesed. That of course his goal was to bring the whole world to God, but not at the expense of sacrificing the chinuch of his son Yitzhak. And therefore, it says he stayed put. That's Ashre, that decision, in order to give his son a pure level of chinuch. Now, I will tell you a derash. Uderech hata'im lo amad. So it says, and he does not stand in the way of sinners. What does it mean, Uderech Hatta'im, in the way of Hatta'im lo amad? So, it's important to know the connotations of the word amad. The simple means he doesn't stand. Okay, we didn't come here for simple. Amad, in the depth of the way the word is used in Torah, is to be stationary. La'amod means to stand in position. To be in one place is called obed. Or if we want to say it even deeper, is to be stagnant. As opposed to somebody that's moving, moving would be called holech. When somebody is stationary and in place, he's called an omed. It is very clear that in our religious life, God does not want us to be an omid. God actually wants us to be holech. God wants us to move. God wants us to elevate ourselves. Nobody can be satisfied with yesterday's religious accomplishment. You cannot rest on your religious laurels. A person has to keep on moving. A person keeps on growing. So in Judaism, we never say you should be an omid. We wanna be holech. Now Avraham Avinu alav shalom. Back to my point of the Sapir Rebbe, he could have moved to Sedom. No question about it. It would have probably stagnated Avraham's growth. But it's okay for the tzaddik to stagnate his growth for the sake of others. It's okay for that. As a matter of fact, that's praiseworthy. That the tzaddik that can accomplish much more in his personal spiritual life, but he sacrifices his own growth for others. But again, in this case, Avraham Avinu was not willing to sacrifice his child's growth. So therefore the pasuk says, Uderek Hata'im, in the place of Sedom, which was sinner, Lo Amad. He did not choose to stagnate himself, which means in another place, however, he will choose to be Amad. It's okay to be Omed, but not Bederek Hata'im. Where is that? When it comes to teaching your students, when it comes to teaching your children, then Amad is actually praiseworthy. Bederek Hata'im lo Amad, but not to sacrifice yourself and your spiritual level at the expense of something else. But there is a case where Amidah is proper. They say from the Hazon Ish that one of the biggest yetzeraras that fathers have. What's the big yetzerah of a father? Well, this is before the internet, before TV. So therefore, what was the yetzerara that the Hazon Ish said that fathers have? That they have a big urge to review the Gemara that they're learning. Wow. That's a big yetzerara, to review the Gemara that you're learning. He says, instead of reviewing the Gemara that your children are learning. Oh. Which means you have to be willing to stunt your own growth in order to develop the child. So therefore, in that sense, Amidah is a good thing. Uderech Hata'im lo Amad. Yeah, when it comes to sinners, don't stagnate your growth for them. But when it comes to Talmidim, students, and more importantly, children, then Amidah is actually praiseworthy. You know, they talk about the Ben Sorer u'Morer. That's the child, that the wayward child. So the Pasuk says that the parents bring the wayward child to the Bet Din. And they say to the Bet Din, Benenu ze sorer umore. This child over here is wayward and rebellious. Enenu shomeya bekolenu. He doesn't hear us. He doesn't hear our voices. I once heard a beautiful derasha that the parents are actually making an admission. We know why the child is a ben sorer umore, because he doesn't hear our voices learning Torah in the house. Enenu shomeya kolenu. He doesn't hear us because we're not doing anything in the house. And therefore, it's our fault that this kid is a ben sorer umore. Enenu shomeya bekolenu. If we would be learning and doing the right things, so then it could be the child would come out of it. And the point of David HaMelech, right in the beginning of the chapter, is Hinuch Yeladim. Hinuch Yeladim, the sacrifice of Avraham for his son Yitzchak. Fine. Now, Asherei is a very, very sophisticated word. Not to be mixed up with the word Hatzlaha. Ashrei is somebody that's fortunate, somebody that's Matzliach is also fortunate, is successful, but the Malbim says there's the difference. You'll use the word Ashrei to talk about being lucky in Olam Haba. Hatzlaha you'll use when it talks about success in this world. What I think David HaMelech is saying over here is that when a person raises good children, not only is his benefit here in this world, but Ashrei HaIsh. Ashrei HaIsh, even in Olam Haba, where he can no longer do any mitzvot for himself. See, in Olam Haba, it's another case where a person is stagnant. He cannot grow. But in Olam Haba, his children are going to move him. Through the zikuyot that he taught the children, he grows in Olam Haba. So look at the midah keneged midah, Rabotai. It's an amazing measure for measure. You were willing to stagnate yourself for your children. You stagnated your own spiritual growth to advance the child or the student. So therefore, measure for measure, when you are stagnant in Olam Haba, because you cannot grow yourself anymore, because there's no mitzvot for you to do there. Midah keneged midah, the child now will grow you. The child will move you. You stagnated for the growth of the child or the student, and now the student will grow you when you are stagnated in Olam Haba. And that's why the beginning of the chapter is saying, Ashrei, lucky is the person in Olam Haba that leaves the proper children behind him in order to grow him. Fine. Since the theme is influence, Rabotai, we have to learn it through that prism of influence, negative influence. Pasuk says, "Umoshav letzim lo yashav." He doesn't sit with scoffers. Rabotai, I'm not into the fancy words. Scoffer means a jokester, pranksters, people that just make fun of everything. You shouldn't sit with those type of people. They're bitul Torah. They're not talking anything significantly. They tear down anything that's important. They discount everything that has value. Therefore, Moshav Netzim Lo Yashav. If you see those guys, keep on walking. Don't stop and sit with them. But I saw an unbelievable explanation from the rabbi called the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov's learning a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Mishnah in Pirkei Avot is in the third Perek. And the Mishnah reads like this: Shnayim shiyoshvim, two people that are sitting. Ve'en benehem divrei Torah, and they're not talking divrei Torah amongst themselves. Hare ze moshav letzim, this is a place of letzim, of jokesters and scoffers. The Baal Shem Tov says, I don't understand. They're not talking divrei Torah. Why does that make them Moshav Netzim? They're not making fun of anybody. They're not talking about anybody. They're not ridiculing anything. They're just not talking the Brit Torah. They're talking about the news. They're talking about the weather. Why automatically, if they're not talking about the Brit Torah, does the Mishnah convict them and say, oh, this is a Moshav Netzim? Baal Shem said something amazing. He said, how is it possible that two Jews sit down in a place in a location and they're not inspired, that's the magic word today, everybody's inspired, and that they're not inspired to talk the Vrei Torah? How could it be? He says, must be somebody before him or before them sat in that place and spoke Letzanut. And therefore the place now is toxic from the previous people that were there. Therefore, when they finally come to sit, they're getting negatively influenced from the energies that were left by the people that previously sat. Therefore, he says, if two people are sitting in a place and they don't say the Vrei Torah, harezem moshav letzim l'sha'avar, it must have been a motzav l'shim, there must have been letzim that sat there before you got there. And therefore, you're being negatively influenced from the letzanut that was deposited in that spot. Oh, an amazing adush, Rabotai. That the place is Gorem. I told you what the Rav Chaim Palachi writes. Rav Chaim Palachi says, in a place where you see two people having an argument, mahloket, run for your life. Don't walk past that place. Because the negative energy of the mahloket will influence you. There's a power of the hashpa'ah, Rabotai. Not only on the actual hashpah that's apparent. We know you don't stay next to the sha'im. Don't watch things that are not suitable. That's an obvious, apparent bad hashpah. Here we're talking about even where there was something wrong that happened, the place itself carries negative energies for the future. So, Moshav Letzim Lo Yashav. Don't sit where Letzim sat. Because even if you sit with it, it seems sad. Chas v'shalom, that can affect the person negatively because of what was left there. Oh, so what should you do? Oh, that's all. Listen, David HaMelech is telling you the beginning of the book, keep away from this. Okay, so what should you do? You see, the tzaddikim are very smart. They don't only tell you what not to do, but they have to give you an option what to do. Le'avdil, there was a campaign by one of the former presidents that was a failure. The campaign was, say no to drugs. And that's what they got on the commercials, Rabotai, say no to drugs. And they thought That was such a catchy campaign. Say no to drugs. They thought all the kids would say, oh, that's so nice. Okay, I'm putting my drugs away. Why? Because the TV told me say no to drugs. Finished. I'm not doing it anymore. But they realized that was not a good campaign because they were not telling the kids what to say yes to. They weren't giving them an option. Say no to this. What do you want me to do instead? Because that's all you can do is take drugs. Nothing else to do. So I have to give them something else to do. So then they started to make different programs like playing basketball at midnight and all different type of things to keep them busy. And sure enough, it had an effect. We don't see the effect really today anymore, but then it had its effect. So David HaMelech says, yes, Abodai, keep away from the Netzim and from the Hatayim and don't live in Siddom and don't do any of that. So what should we do, Abodai? What should we do? Ki im betorat Adonai epso uptorato yege yomam valayla. That's the answer. The answer against bad culture and bad society is not to join, you know, the local political action committee, is not to write a letter to your president that you're against the society's values, not to march on Fifth Avenue. If you're interested in keeping away from the culture and changing and insulating yourself, David HaMelech says, is one solution. Ki im betorat Hashem epso, your will and desire should be the Torah, uptorato yege yomam v'layla, and learn Torah day and night. Now, I'd like to read the Radak over here. Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi, one of the commentators on Tehillim, he says, Torat Hashem epso, it should be your craving. Desire should be the Torah. What does it mean, your desire should be the Torah? Let's make that drop better there. What does it mean, the desire should be the Torah? So he says, and I quote, ובכלל החפץ הלימוד והמעשה. Oh. He says, you know what it means, Torat Hashem Hefso? It means not only learning, but your learning should be followed up by deeds. Lilmod al menat la'asot. And I wondered, how did the Radak know that this is talking about people that are performing mitzvot? It says, ki im betorat Hashem haktzor. I would have said simply, you're learning. Occupy your mind with Torah and it'll keep away all the snakes and the scorpions. When the brain is lacking water, mayim enbo, when there's no water in the brain, nahashim akrabim yeshbo, snakes and scorpions come in. Fill the brain with water of Torah and then you get rid of all the bad. How does the Radak know? No, kim b'torat Hashem hafzo is referring to you're doing actions. You're not really learning. You learn the halakha and you put it into practice. So we explained it, Rabotai, based on a Malbim. Malbim's unbelievable. Malbim explains, not over here, Malbim explains in Parashat Vayishlach. He explains the difference between two Hebrew words. It's important to get the difference once and for all. One word is called Heshek. You ever hear somebody has a Heshek? He has a Heshek. What is it? He has a Heshek. He has a desire. Or he has a Hefetz. Hafetz, he has a will, he has a desire. So he said, what's the difference? There's no synonyms in the Hebrew language. So Malbim says, what's the difference between a Heshek and a Hefetz? So he says, Heshek is when your desire is spiritual. Spiritual cravings. I have a Heshek to learn. Hefetz is a craving for something that's physical. Okay, now you learned something. Sheikh Hayano, you learned something. The difference between Heshek and Hefetz. Where does he learn this from? You remember the story of Botai of Shechem, the son of Hamor. Shechem ben Hamor. Hamor ben Hamor. When he went and he took Dinah, the daughter of Yaakov Abinu. So, of course, he took her for the wrong reasons, obviously. However, his father, Hamor, when he comes to Yaakov to justify why he, what he did, what he did, he says, Shechem b'ni hashka nafsho b'betechem. This was not desire, this was heshek, hashka. He saw that she's a tzaddeket, and she has good midot, and she has sini'ut, and therefore he says, no, you shouldn't think that this is coming from the wrong place. Hashka nafsho, he has a spiritual heshek. But the Torah comes along and says, later on, that they realize that indeed, ki hafetz bebat Yaakov. He was hafetz bebat Yaakov. He was interested in the physical. He wasn't interested in the heshek. So you see again, Rabotai, hafetz is a physical thing. And that's what the Torah says in Tehilim. Ki im betorat Hashem, if it was just talking about learning, it would say heshko. Heshko is a spiritual accomplishment. But it says, ki im betorat Hashem, you're taking the Torah that you learned and you're turning it into a hefzo, into a physical action. That means you learn the laws of sukkah. That's metaphysical. I'm learning. That's nothing to do physical. That's a heshek. I learned the laws of sukkah, then I go build a sukkah. I turn the heshek into a hefetz. That's the goal. Ki im betorat Hashem, hefzo. That's how the Radak knew that it says to do a ma'aseh. You have to materialize your learning. It's not enough to come along and learn concepts and leave it in the realm of a hypothetical. No. Person's purpose to learn is l'mod al-minat la'asot. Like the Pasuk says, Adam le'amal yulad. A person was created to toil. La'amal la'shetevot l'mod al-minat la'asot. You're learning in order to practice. And therefore, David HaMelech says, yes, you have to keep busy. In order to keep away from bad influences, you have to keep busy. Busy in the mental work, and then busy in the physical work of the mitzvot. Between that, you won't have time to sin. You won't have time to sin. Yafeh Talmud Torah im derech eretz. I want to explain the Mishnah in a new way today, Rabotai. Yafeh Talmud Torah, the study of Torah is good when it's coupled with Derech Eretz. What does Derech Eretz mean? Derech Eretz means the way of the world. The way of the world is to work, which means your Torah should not only be Talmud Torah, it should be a Torah that leads to work, to action. Yafeh Talmud Torah, when is Talmud Torah good? When it's in Derech Eretz. When you take your Torah and you go and work, meaning not go to work to go sell tomatoes. When you go to work, meaning to put your Torah in action. Why? The toiling in both, the toiling in the learning and the toiling in the action, makes the person preoccupied that he has no time to attract himself to sin. And that's what David HaMelech is telling you. Fortunate is the guy that keeps away from the bad stuff. But he's got to keep himself occupied with something that's positive. Sur mera, very good. But what's the asetov? The asetov is ki'im betorat Hashem hefzo. That he's learning Torah, but not only learning, but his learning becomes hefetz. He materializes it into an action. And then already he's able to be saved from chas v'shalom, the negative influences. Okay. Let's continue for a moment, Rabotai. Over here it says, "Uptorato yehege yomam v'alayla." Oh, we have a problem here. Uptorato yehege yomam v'alayla. He has to learn Torah day and night. Now, I don't suspect our members. I'm sure that after this 10-15 shiur, they just go to another shiur. And they just stay listening to Shi'urim Yomam Valayla, Ashrechem. But I have to make a confession myself. It's impossible for me to learn Torah Yomam Valayla, day and night. What is David HaMelech telling me over here? Is anybody possible to learn Torah Yomam Valayla? Non-stop, without any interruption of Torah to Yege Yomam Valayla? So I'd like to explain it to you, what it means, Yomam Balayla. I want to explain to you on a halakha, based on a halakha. Rabotai, Could you explain to me the law if a person, for example, goes into the sukkah on Sukkot, he makes the beracha l'shem basukkah, he sits in the sukkah, he eats breakfast in the sukkah. Chazak baruch, he did a great thing, great accomplishment. He makes birkat hamazon. Now he leaves the sukkah and he goes to work. He comes back for dinner. He comes back into the sukkah, he invites the ushpizin into the sukkah. Now he's going to sit to have dinner. Does he have to make another l'shem basukkah? Okay. No response. The answer is, yes, he has to make another l'shem basukkah. And my question is why? He made one in the morning. Why can't the l'shem basukkah in the morning cover the l'shem basukkah in the evening? I'll ask you another question. A person gets up in the morning, like many of our members do, to study Torah. So before we study, we make Birkat HaTorah. You cannot study unless you make Birkat HaTorah. And they read for an hour the Daf Yomi, they stay for the Halakha class. Beautiful. They got their money's worth of the Birkat HaTorah. Then they go to work, 8 hours. They come back to the Beit Midrash at night. Do they have to make another Birkat HaTorah? They do not. They do not. That's a rhetorical question. They do not. So the question is, not my question, it's the question of Tosafot. What's the difference between the law of Sukkah, that you have to make a new beracha, and the law of Torah, that you don't? And the explanation is the nature of the two. There's a difference. What happens when a person finishes eating? Finishes eating, his mind is off of eating. He's done. As a matter of fact, a lot of times he regrets that he ate because he ate so much. But if you tell the guy, hey, you want to eat some more? I'm done. I ate already. So when he leaves the sukkah, his mind is finished from the sukkah. He's not planning. His mind is not on the food anymore. So that's called a heseya hadad. There's a lapse. So now when he comes back to the sukkah, already it's a new coming back. It's a new return. His mind was off of it. Your mind was off of it. Oh, now he gets hungry again, his mind is on it again. But there was a lapse. Now you have to make a new beracha. However, when you see our members leave the shi'ud in the morning, what do they say? Oh, we can't wait to come back. We can't wait to come back. When you just finished learning for an hour and a half, we're still hungry, Rabbi, we're still hungry. So what are you leaving for? No choice, we have to make a parnasah. We have to pay the bills. But I'm telling you, my mind in the office the whole day is what? When can I come back to the Beit Midrash? When can I come back? And the proof of the pudding is, on Sunday, when there's no work, I'm in the Midrash the half the day. And on Shabbat, oh, much more. So therefore, there's never a break in the learning. That's why you don't have to make a new Birkat HaTorah. That's why you don't have to make a new Birkat HaTorah, because there's never a break. The guy's mind is always in, when am I going to come back? When am I going to return? A person doesn't come out of a class of an hour and a half and then say, oh, oh, I'm very full. Okay, good. I can't learn until tomorrow morning. I'm on overload. Who ever says that? Ever anybody say that? Never say that. I would say, wow, I'm thirstier. Wow, I'm more interested to learn more, but I have to go. I have no choice. So therefore, the pasuk is saying, "Uptorato yege yomam balayim," means the person's mind is on the Torah yomam. He never takes his mind off it. That's what it means. There's never a break. There's never a time that a person comes along, even if you look at the tzaddikim, during the summer months, they go to the mountains. You ever see the pictures of the gedolim? They sit under the tree, they have a book, they learn. There's never a break. Maybe they change their environment, they change the curriculum a little, they change the atmosphere. Torah to yegeim ambanah, there's no hesei ada'at from Torah. And yeshiva, they used to tell us, there's no vacation from Torah. There's no vacation. Even when you're not learning, your mind is... your mind is always waiting, when can I return? When can I? Today, Baruch Hashem, you have many people in the offices, they make Batei Midrash, they have, shi'urim in the middle of the day. That shows you that the work is a necessary evil. They got to go to work. But any moment they can steal away from the work, boom, they redistribute it to the study of the Torah. So that which would mean, Torah to yegeh, yomam balayla. Rabotai, I would like to explain. Listen, the Botan, we're going to learn this Tehillim in many, many directions. Till now, I'm teaching you the Pisukim individually. Now I want to teach you a style of learning which is called Simichut. What does Simichut mean? Why are two Pisukim next to each other? You're allowed to learn the Torah not only the Pasuk as it is, where it's stated, but you're also allowed to study it. Why is it in its location where it is next to its neighbors? That's called the Derash of Simuchim. Why did the Torah juxtapose? That's a fancy word. Nobody ever knew that word until the Art Scroll came out. Now you see every guy and his brother, the Torah juxtaposes as if they knew that word. They never knew that word. They would use the word, the Torah puts it next to each other. But again, everybody became a linguist. That shows if you're a guy using the word juxtapose, you know he uses Art Scroll to put that, which is not a bad thing, but I'm just letting you know where they got it from. In any event, okay, why does the Torah juxtapose the first pasuk in Tehillim to the second? What's the connection? Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halak ba'asat reshaim, terek hatayim lo amad, u'shav zu rashav, ki'im betorat Hashem hachson. So we said a beautiful juxtaposition as follows. Simuchim na'ad le'olam asuim be'emet v'yashar. Based on the Baal Shem Tov. I was once walking this is a story that I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Haber, that he was once going to the Kotel HaMa'aravi for Netzach Hamar to pray by the Kotel early in the morning, and he was walking through the Arab Shuk. It's before 5 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark outside. And most people are sleeping. And he sees in the Arab Shuk in front of a store, two Arabs playing backgammon. 5 o'clock in the morning already, you're playing backgammon. He couldn't believe it. You didn't even do anything yet. You woke up already, you're playing backgammon at 5 in the morning. So he learned a lesson from it. He says, we have to learn from the Rishaim. We have to learn from the Rishaim. If they get up for their nonsense, so we have to learn from them to get up and do the right, which means we cannot be less diligent than the Rasha is to his nonsense than to our emit. Then we cannot be less lazy, which means we just have to use the Rasha'im's behavior and redirect it to the Torah. I think one of the Rosh Hashivas said that during one of the seasons of the holidays of the Goyim, he noticed that the businessmen come home late from work. They close their store at 11:30 at night. And they see them coming home 11:30. They didn't eat yet. 11:30 at night, they're coming home from work. They have to close the store. So he turned to the students and said, Rabotai, learn from them. They stay in the store late because they know there's a profit for them to be made. We should be less than them. You shouldn't leave the yeshiva before 11:30 at night either. That means you have to learn from them. Whatever you see the people using their passion for, apply that passion and that motivation and that enthusiasm for the Torah. So Baal Shem Tov said, Me'oyevai te'hakemeni mitzvotecha. From my enemies, I can learn about my mitzvot. Me'oyevai te'hakemeni mitzvotecha. How can my enemies teach me about my mitzvot? When I see their vim and their motivation to what excites them, Me'oyevai te'hakemeni mitzvotecha. I use that in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think it means like this, the Pasuk, juxtaposition now. Asheish, don't go follow the Nesha'im. Don't go follow the sinners. Don't go follow the Netzim. Except in one exception. Ki'im b'Torat Hashem Hafso. Unless you want to learn from them how to study Torah. If you see how committed the sinners are to their sins, and if you see the Netzim, how much time they waste for their nonsense, and you see the Sha'im, what they'll do, how much time they spend thinking and plotting for their nefarious plans. Learn from them. Ki'im b'Torat Hashem al Torah. Don't learn from them anything except Torah, how to serve God when it comes to the Ki'im b'Torat Hashem Hafsok Torato Yegev Yomam Balayla. Just like they're involved in Yomam Balayla in Shtuyot, learn from them. You can learn something from the Rishayim. Okay, Rabotai. Could you believe it? All these treasures are buried. We only learned two Pisukim, Rabotai. We only learned two Pisukim. Could you believe how rich this this sefer is over here? How much stuff is lying beneath the surfaces? Now, I will tell you another chiddush over here. And this is, Rabotai, this will be considered the continuation of the Hakdama that we started last week. I don't have a problem now to give you an introduction now, because now I've already we broke ground. We got into the chapter already, so we're in. So the Yetzer Hara can't bother us anymore. We got in. Now once we got in, I want to go back to what we talked about last week. If you remember last week, we talked about the nature of tefillah. And we said that the nature of tefillah is some prayers are answered immediately. That's tefillah prime, where you get the results, you know, by the next morning, next day. And then you have sometimes what we would call your tefillahs on back order, where we don't get the results immediately. Sometimes we don't even get the results in our lifetimes. That's the way we talked about last week. And we said, tefillahs omedet berumo shel olam. Sometimes the prayers are in the upper worlds. That means the prayers that we made are floating in the upper worlds, like rain clouds, waiting to come down in the future generation. But the tefillah is there. It's just suspended. It's omed berumo shel olam. It's suspended in the higher echelons of the world. And later on, it rains down on somebody else. So I'd like to discuss this inyan a little deeper. We know that there was three women in history, famous women, and I mean women, there's many women in history, we know that. There were three famous women, tzaddikim, tzadkaniyot, three women in history, that were akarot. Akarot lo aleinu means they were barren. Of course, one of them is Hana, the mother of Shemuel HaNavi. The other one is the Shunammit. The Shunammit is the lady that was blessed by the prophet Elisha. And the third is the wife of Manoah. The wife of Manoah, Tzlalponit, the Gemara refers to as her name, was barren. Eventually she would become the mother of Shimshon. But she was barren. Rabotai, how does a barren woman all of a sudden become a mother of a child? Well, these three women have something in common. They were all Jewish. The Gemara says that the Jewish people do not work with what we call mazal. They don't work with the natural order. The Jewish people are actually what we say, lema'la min mazal. We're above the world order. And therefore, when nature says there's no chance, when nature tells you, sorry, you know, the statistics are against you, you must have heard your grandmother say, we don't believe in statistics. The Jewish people are the biggest proof. You know, we shouldn't exist. If you believe in statistics, then we shouldn't be here. So, the biggest proof that you don't believe in statistics is our mere existence. You know, the Jewish people should be a footnote on the bottom of world history. You know, the Jews, yeah, archaic nation that doesn't exist anymore because they were wiped out 100 times. But we're not a footnote. We're actually right in the front and center of the history of the world. Because the Jewish people have an ability to rise above the Teva. Which means the world is suspended when it comes to the Jew. The world, meaning natural world order, is suspended when it comes to the Jew. Now, how do we suspend it? I'm going to teach you now today how to suspend nature. And I recommend our members to use it. You don't have to be a mikubal for this. Everybody can do it. But let's look at these three tzaddikim over here. They were barren. Nature said they cannot have children, but they were like children. What did they do? Well, we know what Hannah did. Hannah prayed. Vatitpalel Hannah. There you go. Tefillah causes the nature of the world to suspend itself, and then you're able to rise above it. Tefillah, praying. What did the Shunammite do? The Shunammite, she did chesed. You see, Elisha was a prophet. He needed a lodging. And she came, actually, she built like an extension to a house. And she gave him a bed, and she gave him a lamp, and she gave him a table. You know, all the things that a person would need. And she hosted him, and she fed him. And so she did chesed. Learn a lesson. You do chesed, the nature does not stand in the way of some of this. You go above nature. You go above it. Chesed above it. Now, the third thing, the study of Torah. Of course, that goes without saying. Listen, those that study Torah, they have, I'm going to say it, supernatural powers. But I don't mean supernatural in the sense. Supernatural means, why did he go to tzaddikim to get berachot? They have Torah. So therefore, their Torah is able to split the sea like Moshe Rabbeinu. Or Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, better to say. There's a koach of Torah. There's a koach of Torah. Torah lifts the person. Rabotai, I once heard an unbelievable explanation on the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah, right in the beginning. Al shlosha devarim ha'olam omed. There's three things that cause the olam, the spirit, the natural world to be suspended. Omed means to stand in place, doesn't move. It gets stuck. There's a way to pause the world. Al shlosha devarim ha'olam omed. I want to pause the world first. I don't want to get involved with natural order, statistics. How do I cause the world to stop? Al Torah, al avodah, val gemilut chasadim. The study of Torah, Avodah is Tefillah, and Gemilut Hasadim. Those three things, the Olam is Omed, it stands, it's stuck, and you go above it. Why am I telling you this, Dirash? Because I heard somebody say a beautiful explanation on the Pasuk we just read. Uptorato yehege yomam balayla. When a person has Torah, you can decide when it's going to be day and when it's going to be night. You say when day and night is going to be. Uptorato yehege yomam balayla. Which means Yehoshua ben Nun had Torah. He stopped the sun. Which is the nature comes along and says, it's supposed to be night now. What does Yehoshua say? Yeah, but I'm the tzaddik. I want it to be day now. Shemesh be given on dom. Sun, you're going to stop. Who decides when day and night is going to be? Up Torah to, through the tzaddik's Torah, Yehegeh, he will utter Yomam Balayla, when day should be and when night should be. Understand how we're learning about that? Only question you're going to ask me, which I was prepared for this question, and I feel the members are asking it. What was the zechut of Eshet Manoah? It says, Hannah prayed, but it palel Hannah. We know her zechut, Avodah. The Shunamit, Gemilut Hasadim. She did chesed to Elisha. What, we don't see anywhere what did Eshet Manoah do? The angel came to her. You're going to have a child. Very nice. What was the zechut of Eshet Manoah? Rabotai, consider it your lucky day. I'm going to reveal to you now in this Tehillim class a great secret. There's another Akara in history that I didn't tell you about. But you know her. One of the first Akarot, Rivka Imenu. Rivka Imenu. And everybody knows how Rivka gave birth. She conceived. It was through prayer. You remember the Pasuk says, Vayatar Yitzhak Lahashem, Yitzhak Aminu prayed, Lenochah Ishto. For his wife, Ki Akarahi. He prayed. And she was also praying, if you remember. They're both praying. But what does the Gemara say? Who got answered? Yitzhak got answered. Why? Because you can't compare the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik to the prayer of a tzaddik ben rasha. Yitzhak is a tzaddik ben tzaddik, Yitzhak ben Abraham. Rivka is tzaddiket, but she's the daughter of Rasha, she's the daughter of Betuel. Hold it. The language is, you can't compare the tzaddik ben tzaddik, it should say, to a tzaddiket bat Rasha. That's not the language. The language is, you can't compare it to tzaddik ben tzaddik to tzaddik ben Rasha. We're not comparing tzaddik to tzaddik over here. We're comparing tzaddik to tzaddiket. You hear my question? It should say, Yitzhak, you're tzaddik ben tzaddik. Rivka, you're tzaddiket. But it doesn't say that. It says, eno dome tefilat tzaddik ben tzaddik letfilat tzaddik ben Rasha. Rivka's not a tzaddik ben Rasha, by the way. She's not a tzaddik ben, she's a tzaddiket. Abotai. Says Rabbeinu Ari, a big Hiddush. The Arizal says, as brought down in the Siduro Shel Shabbat, Yitzhak Avinu Alav Shalom, he came back down again. He came back down. Not that he needed to make tikkunin, but sometimes we learn the Shavuot of Tzadikim come back down. And who did he come back down as? He came back down in Manoah. He was Manoah. How did he learn it? Because it says Manoah came from Mishpachat HaDani. He came from Shebet Dan. Dani is Otiyot Din. Who's the Midat HaDin? The Midat HaDin is Yitzhak Avinu. And therefore Manoah was carrying in him Midat HaDin, Yitzhak Avinu. However, the Hakamim also tell us that Manoah, while he might have been a good man, however, he came from the descendants of Micha. Micha is Pesel Micha, the Obed Avodah Zarah. Manoah would be considered a Tzaddik Ben Rasha. Yitzhak Avinu Alav Ashlo, when he was praying for his child, he was able to make one tefillah and his Rivka gave birth. Why do you have to pray so much? He wasn't praying for himself. He says, for the tzaddik ben tzaddik, you can make one tefillah, but he was praying for the tzaddik ben Rasha. Who's the tzaddik ben Rasha? Manoah. That's who Yitzhak is going to be. So therefore, v'yatan Yitzhak, who is he praying for, Lashem? Lenochach ishto. Not for the wife over here. Lenochach, for the future wife. Lenochach. What does it say, Lenochach? Just say, Vayetad Yitzhak Lashem Leishto. No. What's for Ishto? For Ishto is easy. That's one tefillah done. But Lenochach Ishto. In the future, somebody else is going to need a tefillah. He's not going to be able to do a tefillah so good. So what did Yitzhak Avinu do? He put these tefillot in the bank. He banked these tefillot. So therefore, later on it says that what? They didn't do anything. All of a sudden, the rain cloud came, the tefillah Yitzhak Avinu, and all of a sudden was deposited and was cashed. And all of a sudden, the Malach comes to Eshet Manoah. Vayiram Malach Hashem el Aisha vayomer eleha. Hinena at akara viyoladet ben. Enna ele lashon bakasha. Somebody made a bakasha for you. Hinena, and as a result of the bakasha, who made a bakasha? Doesn't say anybody prayed. The bakasha of Yitzhak Avinu is coming down now. And therefore, you see the concept of tefillah working in the immediate, that's for Rivka, but you also see the tefillah working for the future. Uptorato yege yomam balayla. Utfilato yege yomam balayla. Bitzitkato yege yomam balayla. That's a great, great lesson that David HaMelech tells you. That not only does Torah keep you away from the bad influences, but those that immerse themselves in spirituality are actually able to rise above the nature of the world. All right, Rabotai, I gave you enough to chew on for today's Darash. You could review it and study it. I don't know where I'm going to continue next week. I mean, I don't want our members to tell me, oh, Rabbi, you're up to Pasuk. We're not learning it like that. We're not learning it like that. Oh, you have to pasuk dalit. No, we gave you the theme of the first Perek. The theme of the first Perek is already understood. Influence, Torah, and we gave you some garnishing around the first chapter. If I decide by the next week to go to the second chapter, then we're going to go to the second chapter. And then you'll have to learn the rest of the Pesukim on your own. That's the way we're going to learn it, Rabbi Tai. Okay. Baruch Amar Le'olam. Amen
v'amen. Thank you for the Rav.
Hazak Baruch.
Hazak Be'amas.
Thank you for the
Rav. Okay.